All right, we're going to get in the message. We're going to have fun this morning. I've got a number of illustrations, so kids, make sure you pay attention. It's going to be a great time. Now, most of you know my staff. We have a number of staff members, and every Tuesday morning, for the most part, we have staff meeting from 9:30 till about 12 o'clock. And you would think that responsible individuals who are on staff, who are pastors of this church, that they could actually pay attention and stay focused. But I want to tell you that my job on Tuesday mornings is somewhat like a junior high and kids pastor. That there are moments in the staff meetings where I'm trying to rein the staff in. In fact, even this past Tuesday, Pastor Nick was just, he was all over the place. He was like a dog with a squirrel. I mean, he just all over the place. And at one point, I even just said to him, "You are just unreal today." Just these moments. And so I'm going to invite a couple of my staff. I'm going to ask Pastor Steve and Pastor Nick and Pastor Haley, if you guys could just come up here just for a second. I want to just try something to start off our message. I want you guys just to stand right here. No, it's Pastor Steve over here. Pastor Steve actually is one of the worst on staff for this. You may not know this, but I always say he has junior high moments. All right? Now, here's the deal. We're going to have this path, and we're going to pretend that this path is the path to God's dream for your life. All right? We've got this sign right here, God's dream. And so I actually need Pastor Steve to just walk towards God's dream. If you could just stay on the line. Just stay in alignment with that line. It's good. It's wonderful. That's great. You need a tutu for that. All right. Thanks, Pastor Steve. Okay, Pastor Nick, let's try it with you. Wonderful. And Pat, oh, wait, one sec. Before we get Pastor Haley to do this, I need the three strongest kids in this place. Just wave at me if you think you're one of the strongest. All right, right over here, there's one. Over here at the back, number two. And let's get somebody from this side right here, number three. Would you come up here for a second? All I need Pastor Haley to do for this exercise is to stay in alignment with this line to get to God's dream. But what I want you guys to do, come here, you guys, where's my third one right over back here? Yep, the one standing up. Just come on up. Let's see your muscles, first of all. I just want to make sure that we're legit here. Just do the...
They are.
That's okay. By the time you're 15, you'll be fine. All right, here we go. This is what I'd like you to do. I want you guys to come, and I want you to grab Pastor Haley. Just put your left arm right here. Just come on up. And I want you guys to grab hold of her left arm. Okay, and I want you to try to pull her off the line as she is trying to walk towards. Pull hard, like really hard. And I want, and come on, Pastor Haley, just try to get to the line. Just pull her over here, just. Come on, Pastor Haley. All right, forget it. This is, all right, thank you. Give them a big round of applause. Thank you, guys. You guys can go grab a seat. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our first two individuals, Pastor Steve and Pastor Nick, they had no problem walking in alignment with the line towards God's dreams. But Pastor Haley began with the intention, the desire to get to God's dream. She saw the viewpoint, the place that God wanted to take her. She knew the path, but she had some pressure, some external pressure that caused her alignment to come out of sync. She became misaligned in where she was going. Even though she knew what God wanted for her, even though she knew that God's dream's right there and she saw the path, she got misaligned and was unable to get to where God wanted her to go. Friends, I want to tell you that so many times in our life, that's the kind of situation we face. We can see God's view, God's vision, God's dream, the viewpoint that he has in the distance, where he wants us to go. We can even see the path. But every now and then, there's misalignment. It gets us off course. And I want to talk to you about this idea of alignment. Alignment is an adjustment to align. It's a state of agreement or cooperation towards a viewpoint, a state of agreement. You're in agreement with God's plan, trying to get to the God's dream. But something comes along and you get misaligned. We've been going through the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to see in chapter 5 that there's a misalignment and some potential misalignments. God wants you to get to your dream. God wants you to get to the things he has for you. But there is always a potential that you will come out of alignment with what he has for your life. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 5. We're going to look up at the screen if you don't have your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 6 to 16. It's a little bit longer passage. Kids, if you're here, you can look up at the screen, and we're going to read this together. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, "You are charging your own people interest." So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, "As far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us." They kept quiet because they could not find anything to say. So I continued, "What are you doing? What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let us stop charging interest. Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses. And also the interest you are charging them, 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. We will give it back," they said, "and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say." Then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, "In this way may God shake out of their house and possessions anyone who does not keep the promise. So may such a person be shaken out and emptied." At this, the whole assembly said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. And the people did as they promised. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work of the wall. The whole book of Nehemiah is about rebuilding the wall. It's about knowing God's dream. It's about being in alignment with what he's asked them to do. And what Nehemiah finds out is that there are some things taking place that are causing the people of God to be out of alignment with God's will, or placing a potential that they will get out of alignment with God's will. And so when we look at this passage, I think there are three things that we need to grab hold of if we are going to stay in alignment, in line with the things that God has for our lives. The very first thing is a kingdom focus. Kingdom focus. Nehemiah comes to the people of Israel, the people of Judah here in Jerusalem, those who are wealthy, those who are very prominent in position. And he sees that they are treating those who are a little bit lower, those who need food and need money, those who need certain things in life. He sees how they are mistreating them. They are charging these people interest on the money they've lent them, even though they're their brothers. They are causing them to mortgage their land to people because they can't pay for food. They are even getting to the place where they're having to sell themselves as slaves and then being bought back, because they just don't have enough. And all of a sudden, Nehemiah sees this, and he's like, man, this is completely messed up. This isn't what God wants for the people of Jerusalem. This isn't the thing that God wants for Judah. And he calls them on it. He says, you guys have lost focus. You are taking the opportunity to build your kingdom. You rich people are taking the opportunity to get richer, to gain more land, to gain more slaves. You're building your kingdom, but what you're supposed to be doing is building God's kingdom. You're supposed to have a kingdom focus. We are here with a task to build the walls, to restore the walls, so that God's kingdom will be prominent, not your kingdom. They're out of alignment. They know God's dream. The dream for the people of Jerusalem is to build the wall so that God's kingdom will be prominent. And somewhere along the way, they've got misaligned and began to be focused on their own dreams. In the early 1800s, sometime before mid-1800s, people would travel in these horse and carriages, and they would have these four horses that would lead the carriage. The people who would be traveling, usually the more wealthy, would be inside the carriage. There would be a coachman who would kind of steer the horses. There would be the front two horses, which would be the lead horses. And these lead horses would direct the carriage in the place it was to go. There were reins attached to the front two horses. And then in the back, there was another set of horses that gave it a little bit of extra power. And what happened is that that coachman, as he sat up on that the top of that coach, he would take the reins and he would hit the horses. He would whip the horses with the reins to get them on track and to pull them when they needed to be pulled. If they started to get out of alignment, he would pull them this way. And if they started getting out of alignment the other way, he would pull them this way. But what they found out was that these reins were hitting the eyes of the back two horses. And so every time the coachman would pull on the reins, it would hit the eyes of the horses and it would cause damage to the horse's eyes. So they created something called blinders. And most of you would understand what this is. These would be these little leather padded things that would go on the side of the horse's eyes, and it would protect those horses' eyes from the reins hitting them. What they start to notice was that as these blinders were put on the horses had a greater focus. The back two horses became more intent on where they were going. Instead of looking at every noise and turning around and seeing things that would distract them, they kept their eyes forward. And so those who owned horses start to use this beyond the protection of the horse's eyes. They would put it on the front horses too to make sure that they stayed in alignment with the plan that the coachmaster wanted for that carriage. And so they would begin their path. They had to get to point B from point A, and they would go, and the horses had these blinders on, and they would remain focused from the distractions. Friends, I want to tell you something. If we are going to fulfill the dreams of God, we have got to put some horse blinders on our eyes. We have got to blind ourselves to our own dreams and our own wishes, and we need to make God's kingdom, the things that He has in His heart, the priority in our lives. We've got to put these horse blinders, this element that every time we want to look to the left and pursue something for us, every time we want to look to the right and say, I'm going to embrace this amount of leisure, I'm going to embrace this fun over here, that our eyes would be so focused on the king's plan, the blinders. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, look at the screen. It says, but seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and then these things will be given to you as well. We looked at this a few weeks ago. Friends, I can't emphasize enough that your priority of focus is the kingdom of God. Your priority of focus is the kingdom of God. That your eyes must be focused on building the kingdom. It must be focused on doing what God desires. His plans must precede your plans. What He wants to see built must be more important than what you built. Now, friends, let me ask you a question. If we are truly seeking the kingdom of God first, how much of our week do we focus on God's kingdom? I'm not talking about prayer time. I'm not talking about Bible time. I'm talking about the expansion of His kingdom. I mean, I know how much time I spent this week in just preparing my kingdom. I don't know if you know this, but the leaves have been inconsistent this year. Thursday, I spent a couple hours doing my whole yard, and the leaves all came down, and I mowed them all and put them in about 6 bags. 24 hours later, I realized the devil visited my home. And he dwelt in the tree, and he got up in that tree, and he shook that tree, and there were leaves everywhere. And I looked outside, and I was defeated and discouraged. Lord, it's time to take me now. I was so discouraged. I had to spend a couple more hours yesterday cleaning, doing the same thing I did on Thursday, prepare my kingdom for the winter that was coming last night. You know what I'm saying? We've spent hours preparing our kingdom. But if the kingdom is our focus, how much time do we give towards it? We've got to make it the priority. Pastor Nick, would you come here for a second? I just want to illustrate this. Pastor Nick, I need you to be a horse. All right, so just stay right there, just right there. Get down on all fours. Could you actually do a horse sound? No. Have you seen a horse? No. Okay, can you do like a horse sound?
Yes. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw?
Yeah. Do they neigh?
Horses don't talk.
Do they neigh?
That's a cowboy.
Okay,
so do a neigh.
Neigh!
You know, there's actually no point to this illustration. I just want him to do that. No, I'm just joking. But if Pastor Nick is the horse and he is making his way towards God's kingdom. No, I'm not getting on top of your back. He will start to go along, and I'll say, "Hey, Nick, you want to go to Maverick Donuts?"
Yes.
And he this is what will happen. And then he gets back on track, okay, and he's going after God's kingdom, and I'm like, hey, I got tickets to the Colorado game, and he comes over here. Okay, come back. Come back, horse. Put your head down. He's got the blinders on, so now he's going towards God's dreams, I'm waving Colorado Avalanche tickets, but he can't see them because he's got the blinders on. I'm over here and I've got the Maverick Donuts. I know he loves Maverick Donuts, but he can't see them because he's got the blinders on. So he just keeps focused on the things of God, and eventually, because he's put the blinders on, he will hit God's dreams. Thank you, Pastor Nick. Now, I'm not asking you to go out and buy earmuffs and put them around your eyes because you'll look ridiculous. But when you wake up in the morning, God, let me be focused on your kingdom. Blinders. Let everything about this day and somehow advance your kingdom. As you get to work, God, let something about the way I live reflect your kingdom. Students, as you go to school, God, let something about the way I'm acting today get people to ask me about why I believe what I believe. There would be blinders. You're just focused on the kingdom, focused on it. And the things, the temptation to be drawn here or here is gone because you're just constantly thinking the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. All day long, the kingdom of God. Everywhere you go, every word you say, every attitude in your heart, the kingdom of God. When you go to bed at nighttime and going, God, what did I do today that was for your kingdom? What can I do tomorrow that's for your kingdom? I'm putting blinders on because I want a kingdom focus. We need to be in alignment by having a kingdom focus. Number two, we need to be in alignment by having accountable living. Accountable living. Nehemiah is so upset with these guys. I mean, they're doing all kinds of bad things to the guys in Jerusalem, all these people in Jerusalem. He starts to call them out on this. He says, hey, this is wrong. He says, you should fear God. He says, stop charging people interest. And then he gets really angry. He's like, in fact, give them back all their stuff. Give it all back. He calls them out on it. And you know what happens? What happens is they say, okay, we will do what you asked us to do. We'll give it all back. They are called out, held to account for the things that they're doing so they can fulfill the dreams of God. Listen, this is so important. Many times we just want to let people go off. We see them going following the path of the dream that God's got for their life, the plan that God's got. We see them walking, we start to see them getting misaligned, getting off course, and we just go, oh, it's too bad. It's too bad that they're getting off course. Oh, someone should say something. But friends, if we are truly a family, we've got to call people and hold them to account. We it's not out of being mean, it's not to slap them and say, hey, get back on track. It's to get in their face and say, hey, this is what you're doing is off course. God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. You need to get back on course. Dom, come here for a second. Just come here for a second. Okay, you're going to start right there, and here's the deal. You're going to start to walk. This is God's dream for your life, because God's got a great plan for you, okay? Amen. This is the plan. You start to walk, but look at that food right there. Wouldn't you like a break? I mean, this has been a long service. You need some pop and some chips. Do you want to go kind of go over there? So you start to head over here, and he takes a break, and I go, hey, what are you doing? Dom, God's got a plan for your life. Get back on course. So he ignores this, and he starts to walk a little bit more. And then he sees this Nintendo controller, and he starts to walk because he likes video games. Dom, what are you doing? You're going to spend all your time playing games and entertaining yourself? God's got a dream for you. Get back on course. He keeps walking, and he sees these glasses. Just put the glasses on. Fame. That might make him famous. And he's over here, and he's got these glasses. He's like, you know, I can come over here. I can do something else with my life so I can be famous. Everybody be talking about me. And I go, Dom, God's got his hand on you. He's got a plan for your life. Get back on course. But then he comes over here, and he's just about to graduate, and someone says, hey, you can make a lot of money. I mean, this is Monopoly money. You can buy Boardwalk and Park Place with this stuff, right? And do you want this? And he comes off track again. And I come over to him as his friend, and I say, Dom, you can make a lot of money, but God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. Just leave the money and get back on the course. And he comes over here, and now because I've been in his life, he is able to touch God's dream. Thanks, Dom. Give him a big hand. You see, friends, we have got to be willing to step into each other's life to make sure that we are going after the things that God has for us. Listen, it's not just about moral living. We're pretty good at that. You know, usually when someone's off course and they do something immoral, we're kind of willing to confront them on it. But what about coming to someone and saying, I see something for your life that you're falling short of. God's got a plan for you. God's got a dream for your life. God's got something great. Why do you keep getting off course? Get back on course and go after it. Our kids need this. Our teenagers need this. Our young adults need this. Every one of us needs it. We need people in our life who will call them into account to get back on course. Nehemiah says, okay, you guys say you're going to do it. I just need to make sure it's going to happen. Hey, priest, come here. And the guys are like, what? Yeah, I don't really trust that your word's good enough. And those of you who have kids will understand this. When my kids were little, I would, you know, one of my kids would start to touch something. Say this is a big wall that we've put up, and we've just painted it, and we don't want our kids to touch it. And so one of my kids will start to walk. I go, hey, Brock, what are you doing? Nothing. Don't touch the wall. Yes, Daddy. And then he's just kind of like hanging out here, right? And he says he's not going to do it. And then I go get a cup of coffee. Brock, what are you doing? Nothing. Don't touch the wall. Yes, Daddy. And the next time I go do something, he starts walking back again to do it. Because our tendency is that when we get in trouble, we'll course correct. But unless someone's walking with us to get to the dream, and so unless someone's there and they push us hard, friends, we will simply speak words that we say we're committing to, but we won't follow through with it. And Nehemiah says, I don't want just words saying you're going to do it, because as soon as I'm out of the picture, you're going to go right back to it. And he calls the priest in, and he's like, make them swear to it. Whoa, Nehemiah is serious about this. Make them swear to it. We swear that we will give them all their stuff back. We will no longer charge interest. And then Nehemiah does this. He takes his coat and he shakes it out. And he says, look, here's the deal. May God shake your house of all you own if you don't fulfill this. I mean, he basically prepares them for a curse. He is so committed to seeing God's dream fulfilled, he wants to push them to the place where they're held accountable. Not just little nudges, not just little words of encouragement, not just little moments where he stops them from doing something bad. He is getting them to a place where they are fully committed to the following what God has for their lives. Friends, you need somebody in your life like that. Every one of us, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are. We need people in our lives who will call us into account to go after the things that God has for us. We can all start at this place and see the vision. We can see what God wants for our lives. But unless we have somebody who says, hey, you're getting off course, let me walk with you, make sure that you're going to abide by the plan, we will inevitably become misaligned. We've got to have accountable living. Thirdly, not only do we have kingdom focus and accountable living, but we need a consistent drive. Consistent drive. Nehemiah is now the governor at this part in this chapter. I mean, the king of Persia has made him a political power, king or governor of Jerusalem. And what we find out is that there are certain perks for the governor. They are allowed to collect a certain amount of money. They are allowed to acquire a certain amount of land. And they are allowed to eat a little bit more food than everybody else. So here's Nehemiah. And he's on the path to fulfilling God's dream, which is to rebuild the wall. And as he starts to walk the path, all of a sudden he's enticed by something that calls for a break. Hey, Nehemiah, you've been working so hard. You're now the governor. Why don't you just come over here? Just take a break from building the wall. Just take a break from building the wall. You've worked so hard. You've been at this for so long. You're entitled to some money. You're entitled to some food. You're entitled to some good living. Just take a break. And I'm sure that there is a moment as Nehemiah has been working so hard that he's thinking to himself, I deserve a break. I deserve to let off and just pull back and just please myself for a second. Just make sure I'm taken care of. No one would condemn me from having a little bit of land for myself. No one would condemn me for eating a little bit more nice food. No one would condemn me for just getting a little bit of money. I'm the governor. I could just take a break from the wall. And the drive that he has inside of him to accomplish God's dream could have easily been put aside because he stopped going the consistency that he had been going. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about how my dad taught me to drive. And cameraman, I don't know if you're going to be able to capture this. But I brought my bike this morning. I didn't ride it to work. Just want you to know, I put it in the back of my car. And Linda, I'm sorry I don't have my helmet on, but I figured that the carpet would protect my head. So anybody who's ever ridden a bike, you know that you've got to have a consistent drive. So I start to ride my bike, and as long as I keep a certain speed, I'm able to get to the other side of the auditorium. No problem. And it doesn't matter, even if I go the opposite way with all the pressures of that side of the audience. You know, if I put my foot on the pedal and just keep a consistent speed, I'm able to get to where I need to get over this side of the auditorium. All right? I thought you'd be a little bit more impressed with that, but that's fine. All right. I know everybody's like, come on, everybody can ride a bike. All right. Everything's fine as long as I'm consistent with my drive. But we've all been in places, and on my bike, we just put in these clips for my pedals. And how many have clip pedals? There's a few of us. Okay, clip pedals are pretty scary because the moment you start to lose your consistency of speed is the moment you need to pull your feet out, the clips on your shoes from the pedals, because something's going to happen. And so I start to ride my bike, but then I'm like, I'm tired. I'm getting really tired. I just like to ease up. I know I need to get over there, but I just don't want to pedal anymore. And I all of a sudden hit the pew. Because there's no consistency in my drive, I've eased up and my bike has taken me where it wants to go, not me taking my bike where I want it to go. And the same is true of your life. That the moment you start to ease up on the things that God's got for you, the moment that you say to yourself, you know, I've been working super hard. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to pursue a little bit of pleasure for myself. Is the moment that you start to see your life go in places that you don't want to go. Friends, I'm telling you, I've watched it in so many people's lives. They go hard for God, pedaling like crazy, going in the direction God wants. And then something happens that they give themselves an excuse. I can stay home from church more. I can pull away from my Bible more. I can pray less. I can stop witnessing. I just need to give myself a breather. And you know what happens? The fire of God inside starts to diminish. And their course gets misaligned from the things that God's got for them. They start to go off track. I'm telling you, if you're going to get the things that you want from God, I'm telling you that you're going to get from point A to point B. There has got to be a consistency in your life. There has got to be this consistent drive that even when you are tempted to take a moment of breather, even when you are tempted to go and eat the better food, even when you are tempted to buy the land and have some money, that you would say what Nehemiah says, I am devoting myself to God's dream. I am not pulling back. I am not easing up. God's got a dream for my life. God's got a plan for my life. And if I'm going to stay on course, I can't ease up. I got to keep going, friends. I got to keep going. I got to keep pedaling. I got to keep going in the direction so that I'm directing my life. My life's not directing me. Friends, there is a consistency that's required, a consistency of drive. Let me just say this. Some of you have lost some passion in your life. And the purposes that God has for you seems all over the map. Because somewhere along the line, you eased up instead of grabbing hold of what God had and consistently going for Him. You just let your life slide into comfort. And you're finding yourself unfulfilled. It's time to start pedaling again. Doing the things that you once did. Going after the things that God has for you. And so it's a kingdom focus. We need to have accountable living. And lastly is we need to have a consistent drive. A few years ago, Pastor Steve, if you would just come back. A few years ago, I was at Ontario Place. And my mom was just ahead of me. I think I'd been there a couple times. And I'm just kind of walking along. And I see the entrance up ahead. I'm not familiar with the area. I've been there before, but I could never get from the parking lot to Ontario Place by myself. My mom's a few steps ahead of me. I'm convinced as long as I'm following my mom, I'll be fine. Everything's in alignment, me and my mom. Then I see something across the road. And I start to walk. And I'm trying to walk straight, but I don't realize I'm just slightly getting off course. Like not majorly, I'm not curving a lot, just slightly. My mom's still ahead, and I'm just kind of walking off path. And I keep looking over here. And all of a sudden, I am stopped as my head hits a sign. I walked right into a sign because I lost my focus. I got misaligned. And I want to tell every person in this place today that the moment that you get misaligned with God's will is the moment you find yourself in places that God never wants you to be. The moment that you get off course, friends, that's the time that you will find yourself in places that hurt, places that are so far from what God has for your life. It takes work. It takes kingdom focus. It takes having people in my life that hold me accountable. And it takes a consistency of drive. Just keep going. I feel like taking a break. But in due season, those who keep going will reap a harvest. Keep going. Keep going. And some of you have wanted to take breaks. I'm telling you, you're going to hit a pole. Some of you have not put people in your life that will hold you accountable. I'm telling you, you're going to hit a pole. Some of you are got no blinders on your life, and you're so distracted by so many other things. You're going to hit a pole. But if you will put kingdom first and have people in your life who keep calling you into alignment and have a consistent walk, you'll stay in alignment with God, and you will get to God's dream. That's the plan for your life. This morning we're going to end in a very unique way. I'm going to ask right now all our kids, all our teenagers, young adults, if you would come right to the front, just press right around the altar area right here, right across, right to the prayer room, right to over here. Just really quickly, we're going to be done in a couple seconds. I'm going to invite Linda Wood and Tom Goss to come. God has a dream for your life. I'm telling you, I wish I could show you the plans that He has for you, but I can't. And everyone, it's unique. But there is this dream that God's got for your life. And you will start to walk towards His dreams for your life. And there will be so many times you'll be tempted to get off course. Be focused on what God has for you. Ask people in your life. Your mom, your dad, your friends who are Christians, ask them to hold you accountable to make sure you get to your dream. And keep going, even when you feel like giving up, even when you've had a bad moment, even when someone's hurt you, even when you get tired, keep going, keep a consistent drive. Because friends, kids, teenagers, young adults, if God could use this little army of the next gen to get His dream out, I can't imagine what our world will look like. I can't imagine. Adults, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask that you would come around and just gather around each of these people. I know it's going to be crammed up here. Would you just come on, just if you got kids especially, Just come in. I want you to lay your hands on them. And we're going to invite Tom and Linda Wood to come. And we're going to pray over this next gen. We're going to pray laying hands. This message is for the adults, but it's also for the next gen. We're going to pray believing that God will keep them in alignment with the dreams he has for their life. Tom, I want you to pray first, and then Linda, you just pray that God would help them to be in alignment with his dreams.
Okay, let's everybody bow. Dear Lord, we just thank you again for this get-together. We right now ask you for your guidance. We ask you, Lord, to do those things that are impossible without you. As we sang today, Lord, we just ask you again to give us those dreams in our heart, Lord, that even though on our own it's impossible, but it's not with you. Lord, just help us every day reflect on our Bible, on our scripture. As Pastor Haley teaches the young ones to memorize scripture, let it all of us, even the adults, the older people, every day, let's take a word for that day and use it and put it to use. Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do, making all these dreams come true, and it's always for your kingdom, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that there's such joy in my heart because I'm looking into the faces of potential. I'm looking into the faces of young people full of energy, being educated, being trained, looking forward in life. Oh God, thank you for each and every young person who's standing here ready to commit their lives to you. Father God, I pray that you'd give them 20/20 vision. May it be absolutely clear in their eyesight that they will see your plan and have the courage of their convictions to live it out. Father, may they be deaf to other voices that are negative. May they be deaf to the call of the world. May they be deaf to the lure of money and fame. Oh God, I just pray that they would have 20/20 eyesight for you alone and be deaf to all other voices. And as Pastor Jeff has said, bring them good advisors, bring them strong parents to hold them accountable and give them wisdom to accept the advice of those who have their best interests at heart. Lord, I just pray today that this church will be known all across Canada and all across the world for the high-quality young people that step out and serve God 100% all their lives. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And just before we're finished, I'm going to invite Kinsley Jura. She's going to close her service. But friends, as we leave today, let's go after the things that God has for our life. Let's stay in alignment with his plans. Because if we do, we'll find ourselves at the end of his journey with the most incredible plans that we've ever imagined. So follow his plans. Kinsley, would you pray?
Lord God, we know that you have a dream for us, Lord. For each and every person in this room, you have a plan and you have a dream, Lord God. And I just pray that you'd help us focus on that, Lord God. That you would put people in our lives to keep us accountable, to keep us on the path towards you, Lord God. Because we know that the path towards you will lead us to success, to peace, to love, Lord God. And Lord God, I just pray that every single person in this room would know that God loves them, that God cares for them, and that he has a plan, and it's a wonderful plan, Lord God. And Lord, as we go throughout this next week, as we face trials and tribulations, Lord God, and as people try to pull us away from the dream that you have for us, I just pray that we would draw closer to you, Lord God, that we would keep pressing into your love, pressing into you, Lord God, that we would not forget to lay all of our anxiety and cares on you because you care for us. So, Lord God, as we go on into this week, Lord God, I just pray that you'd keep us focused on you, and you'd keep us pressing in on you, Lord God. In the name of our one and only Savior, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, if you own a child, please make sure you grab the right one. Have a great week, everyone.